estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 526. I'm Adam. I've got my name. I'm so blooming tired. I'm Adam. And Chen Beetle on the Bat Door. And here is Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Bit harsh. And is that it, by the way?
Mani Padme Hum. Wrong creature on the back. Sorry.
Oh, yes, of course. Well done. Ben Shoveler.
Tiens ergo entu espada.
Okay. Debbie Melrose.
Starting at the beginning. What's wrong with you?
Nothing. Debbie Melrose.
Don't be so daft. I'm nothing special.
I know, but Debbie Melrose.
She got that right.
Well played.
Kirsty Bissett.
Well, isn't that just wizard?
Mary Lags, he's back, everybody.
Yay! Fat has come to life. Fat is walking the streets.
Hey, come on, don't be so personal. For God's sake, I'm sat in a chair at the moment anyway. God's sake, Mary. Go away from 1 week and I come back and get that sort of training.
I know, jeepers.
Right, anyway, have I missed anyone? There's so many people on this week.
Yeah, sometimes we're just two of us and sometimes we've got this whole room full.
Yes. Well, this week we're turning right for about 45 minutes before realising that left's probably the best option.
Why?
And it begins with a sort of computer, slightly model, slightly computer, slightly sort of drawn up view of some alien oriental place. And the camera pans down past a few banners so we can transition into the
actual set. It's a great little market. It's brilliant. It could be on any planet, anywhere type thing.
I nearly forgot to say, Lillian Robin says hi, and Terry Marr says, hello, everyone.
Hi. Anyway,
hello.
The Doctor and Donna's having a great...
What's up?
The Doctor and Donna are having a great time in this Chinese market. I presume it's Chinese, or at least it's meant to be, because there's Chinese writing hanging down. Or the writing apparently says Bad Wolf, but...
Well, it all said Bad Wolf, doesn't it?
The TARDIS hasn't you know, converted the text into a readable English at this stage. Master. Anyway, they're going around trying various foods.
Kirsty's trying to say something.
Master!
What?
The coffees that they are drinking are actually Coke floats, and it was suggested by Donna Noble.
I love Coke floats.
I don't.
Yep. She said it said in the script it was supposed to be a warm, foamy drink, and she says, I'm not drinking something warm and foamy. Make it a Coke float and you have a deal.
So, they look like the butter beers you get at Harry Potter World.
Tastes better than that, though.
They try to sweat. Absolute sacrilege. What a waste of Coca-Cola.
No, it's not.
Cream soda as well.
Yeah, and I prefer root beer floats.
Do you know? Anyway,
Penta spider.
So, I haven't tasted a good root beer yet.
After a little bit of wandering through...
Back to Doctor Who.
Everybody says that, actually. Yeah.
I like Dad's root beer.
I did pre-warn you that I might fall asleep.
Dad's is another good root beer.
At some
beer,
point
yeah.
This afternoon, this evening.
Oh, are you still watching Doctor Who?
We've gone off. We're off for a drink.
Welcome to the root beer podcast.
Where do we get up to? Right then, so Donna arrives at a little shifty-looking lady.
Chanto's booth.
Oh, for God's sake, allow me to speak! Of course, Chanto is there looking a bit sinister. Eventually sort of manages to persuade Donna to come in because she gets it for free because she's ginger. I'm not sure all ginger people are sort of liable to just do something because it's for free.
Free random.
Well, because they have no souls.
The amount of time I've tried to use that line in a nightclub.
Well, are you ginger then, Ben?
No, the girl. Yeah. You get it for free.
Anyway, right, so after some What?
Almost worked once.
Almost.
So Chanto delves into Donna's mind while a spidery creeper beetly thing crawls onto her back.
Master.
And, you get the point of view from the beetle. I like that.
Yeah,
was it Ringo or was it maybe...
It looked a bit Ringo-ish, yeah.
Because they're the only ones that are still alive. Anyway,
Master.
What?
So we went from Chanto being an insect to having an insect on the back.
Tumbleweed noise here.
That was really worth waiting for, Debbie. Thank you for that. Anyway, so eventually after some to-ing and fro-ing and clips from previous episodes and scenes of Donna turning left... she's persuaded to turn right, and the title sequence rolls. And it's quite late for the title sequence. We're about 4 minutes into the episode.
It's a long intro, isn't it? Yeah, they don't do that so often in this era, but then it becomes a thing, quite a used mode of introduction throughout. You've got Matt Smith era, definitely had a few.
So instead of getting married, she's at a work Christmas party with her framf at the pub. One of them is Neris. And it's Neris that notices the weird thing on her back, which is quite interesting.
They don't seem like very nice friends, do they?
No, they don't. They seem like troublemakers.
Mm. Oh, you get groups of friends like that at work that, you know...
Someone on podcast.
Depending on where you
podcast,
work.
Podcast, yeah.
Not necessarily got your best interests at heart. Anyway, somebody comes running in the pub. There's something in the sky. It's a floaty, starry thing. It's not a star, it's a web, says Donna. And it starts shooting lightning off all over the place. And the army move in. Donna, instead of running away from the, like everybody else is, runs towards it and just sees a stretcher being removed. Hand flops out with the sonic screwdriver, hits the deck. I would have picked up the sonic screwdriver. You can get a lot for that on a real one off blooming eBay.
Oh, anyway, God. Real one.
Anyway.
Master?
Yes?
For all of these flashback sequences where other things are happening, in many of these cases, the mill just happened to have unused sequences that they didn't use in the original shows. So that's why we see things from slightly different angles.
Thank you for that, whatever your name is. So the soldier, the unique soldier, gets on the radio just to sort of emphasize the fact that he didn't make it. That's the doctor, by the way, dead. He couldn't get out quick enough, not even to regenerate. That's convenient, isn't it? And then as Donna's sort of rather sort of confusedly walking away, her hair's been beautifully brushed, by the way, for this scene, because it's a rear view. Rose comes running in and is just a little bit too late.
Sorry.
He chooses his moments to be annoying.
Well, that's when we find that she's borrowed Bingo's teeth.
They're very well thought out in advance.
What Kirby likes to do is nick other people's jokes and then overplay them a little bit. My joke from how many years ago, Kirby?
What?
That was my joke from how many years ago?
About 9 or 10.
I gave it up 9 or 10 years ago, but thanks for the
effort. Recycling. We're a recycling podcast.
Yeah, I think I did the joke much better, but I appreciate the effort you've gone to find the banana split scene.
Oh, you did, Adam.
La, 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 la.
And here, everybody, is Kirby Bartlett Sloan, better known as the Adam Pearson joke artist.
Yes. It's not la, 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 it's try la, 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 la.
Oh, my God. You're getting pedantic about the lyrics now. That's
Kirby. I apologise profusely.
If you're going to nick people's gags, Kirby, don't nick Adam's.
Enough of that.
Nick some good ones.
Yeah, nick a good one.
We've been nicking your jokes for years, Ben, while you weren't on the show.
Master.
Yes?
I want to know how you're familiar with the banana splits, because they were on between 1968 and 1972 here.
They ran a lot on BBC Two here.
Okay, they just kept running them over and over.
Every time there was a school holiday, the banana splits were run. It was the monkeys and the banana splits.
And that carried on while I was a youth as well. So, you know, it's like monkeys, banana splits, all that sort of thing.
Champion the Wonder Horse, all that sort of stuff, yeah. Robinson
Crusoe. Mr. Ed. We had Mr. Ed quite a lot over here as well.
Yeah, whoa. Mr. Ed.
Back to Dr. Bloody Who.
Lassie.
Lassie, yeah. Skippy.
So,
welcome to the Name That TV Show that was on when we were kids show.
Diversifying.
What was it you said, Lassie? Timmy's in the well?
No, Timmy's in the pub getting hammered.
Oh, yeah, next scene. After a little confrontation, conversation with Rose, Donna gets fired by the bloke from Emmerdale.
Well, she's getting really suspicious of people looking at her back. That becomes
There's Spalda.
And then the moon. Sorry, the Royal Hope Hospital gets taken to the moon. And there's lots of Jadoon seen
die.
By the
public.
Well, isn't that just Wizard?
What?
I bet you the hospital's back now.
Oh, yes. And it does come back, but everybody in the hospital, including Sarah Jane and Martha Jones, dead.
All of them
dead.
Save the world. Since this was after the very first season of Sarah Jane, it's not Ronnie who's up there. It's
well spotted, Kirby. I'm going to give you the smallest, quietest ding we can probably. There you go, to hear it.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes, you can. Here's another one. Did you hear it?
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Anyway, they did the report of the Sarah Jane people getting done in, and then Donna goes out for a wander and meets up with Rose again, who keeps looking at her back and, you know.
I won't play the tra-la-la this time.
No. Thanks, good. God. And she advises Donna to go on a little family trip. By next Christmas. Do go. So they go to this place called Furborough House. And
Wolf
gets
House.
Told off for wearing the antler thingies. What did you say?
Nothing, I was being rude.
And they get nicely settled in, and Mum's in bed watching the telly, and sort of maid brings in the tea and stuff, and the maid notices something odd.
Go on, Ben. It's your moment to shine again.
Donna's back. Oh, yeah. Is this your thing, what the maid says, Ben?
Tienes algo en tu espalda.
That's probably the best effort. In regards to quotes on the show, this is episode 526. That is probably the best effort anybody's ever gone into doing one.
I screamed very loudly at least once or twice.
I chose that one because my eldest daughter has got involved in doing that learning to speak a different language app. And I'm doing Spanish.
Duolingo.
I realised that was Spanish and I thought, bingo. Sorry.
Bingo. One banana, two banana, three banana, four.
Los bingos.
El bingo.
Los bingo.
Anyway, so while all this is going on, something's coming up on the news that everybody's ignoring, and eventually we see the Titanic careering towards Buckingham Palace.
Estimated London. Yeah.
No friend of the show, Jessica Martin, doing the Queen's. Thank you, Doctor. No, it's a boom. Everything goes out and a mushroom cloud arises from the horizon. And
Master. And Wilf also happens to say, I was supposed to be selling papers.
They put that in for your benefit. Because I knew you would be watching this episode. And
yeah, Kirby's watching
references.
It. Watch out. Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, so they're a bit homeless now, so that they're sort of sent off to a street in Leeds, which looks very much like somewhere in Cardiff. But
all the mum wants is a washing machine.
Yeah, she does want a washing machine. Yeah. And they get into. They're welcomed very heartily into this house of various different families.
He's lovely.
That's a beautiful scene. But they get to sleep in the kitchen. That's not a bad place. If you've got a part of the house. I think for me personally, the kitchen is the best. You've got the fridge, you've got the oven, you've got the facilities to just binge eat. And even the beer might be in the fridge. I mean, what more could you ask for?
It's not the UK. It's likely to be warm beer, isn't it?
Really isn't.
Well, in the fridge, Kirsty. That's a very silly thing to say.
No. I said it's the UK. It's likely to be warm beer, isn't it?
Depends what beer you're drinking. If you're drinking lager, you can't drink lager.
Lager goes in the fridge.
Be warm.
I can't stand warm beer. It has to be ice cold.
Yeah.
I don't like warm beer either. Huh? What do you think, Ben, on warm beer? The only time I drink warm beer is when
we used to do
summer barbecues and the beer and cider had already warmed up because of the heat of the air and we've run out of refrigeration.
Yeah, both taste disgusting anyway. So
the fizz explode on us in France once because the sun just made it go boom.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the warm beverage.
Anyway, right then. So anyway, you brought up the subject of warm beer, Kirsty. So no,
I didn't say I wasn't responsible. I just said this is where we're at.
Asterix and warm beer here.
All right. So anyway, what goes on there is some report comes out of the BBC because they're going to get help by the Americans. I wish that had happened on this blimmin' podcast. They're going to get help from the Americans, and what happens is the adipose land in the best place they could have landed to get lots of little baby fat creatures.
America is in crisis with over 60 million reported dead.
Why didn't they go to America in the first place? That's what I asked. Anyway, but in this case they did, which takes America out of the equation for rescuing Britain with lots of money. And there's a bit of British spirit going on. They're all sort of having sing-songs, and there's a few occasional outbursts from Donna, who's getting a bit
sweaty. The barrel.
Yeah. And then they're shooting outside because the Atmos machines are killing everyone. And then one of the soldiers sees something on Donna's back, and there's a very tense scene where he gets her to turn round, but you can't see it when she turns
around. I'll go into El Smelda. Oh, no, sorry.
And then Donna sees a flash, but the gentleman puts it away again. Oh, no, a different sort of flash, sorry. And it's another visitation from Rose. Just as the burning sky is put away by the dying Torchwood team, apart from Captain Jack, who can't die, so he's been taken to the Sontaran homeworld.
I'm not dead!
Anyway, so she says that she'll come back in a couple of weeks, and eventually the Donna will choose to go with her. And then just as she goes back to the house, now this bit caught me. Obviously we ban politics on the show, but there's a scene in which Wilf says that's what they called them back then, the work camps, which is basically what Russia's saying that they're taking the Ukrainian prisoners to, work camps. That sort of found that a bit moving, that, because that's really like 10 years ago or whatever it was. They talk about stuff that's happening now. It's very, very strange. And obviously the wouldn't have ever, she's seen it that way. So that was quite, and that the fact the sort of the emotion that Bernard Cribbins put into that scene really sort of hit home at the moment. That was quite,
and it's horrible because they go England for the English. That's
I know, but that was relevant. I like that scene. I thought that was really good and important that they put it in, and also the flippant way in which the character, I can't remember his name, said it, as if it's, and he's been so kind to everyone, he's not bearing any grudges, he's, because they're his genuine friends, and he has love for them, and I love that. What I didn't like is when Donna wanders in, her mum was a right miserable,
she was depressed. That was really well portrayed.
It was horrible.
Can I jump in here with a question of the English side of things? The way Sylvia and they all react to being moved to Leeds, what is it about Leeds that made it so negative?
Desirable.
Dirty Leeds. Dirty Leeds.
There are parts of Leeds that aren't very nice. I think of the Shannon.
It's got a low, what do they call it? Not a low living rate. It's one of the more deprived areas.
Was it the Shannon Matthews thing? She went missing mother was trying to pretend she'd been kidnapped when she kidnapped her herself and that sort of thing,
There are lots of.
It's not a desirable place.
That's just a sort of generalisation. So I have friends who are from Leeds. And they're lovely, and they lived in nice places. So it's only small parts of it, but because of sort of things like that happening in the media, they get tainted as a sort of not a particularly nice place. I don't think Leeds in general is a bad place. Societies have, their sort of rough areas, I suppose you'd say.
They're from Leeds, and you just follow.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Of course, I think you'll find that in the glossary of nice places, Leeds is absolutely confined as a total shithole.
Anyway. We were trying not to say
you
that.
You couldn't have said that about 5 minutes ago.
Apologies to listeners from Leeds. Sorry, the listener we did have from Leeds once upon a time. Anyway, right, that's what happened there.
It's all right, I could say that because my nephew went to university there for 3 years. And okay. He's given me many a horror story.
I've been there a couple of times. I went to see the Emmerdale Studios in Leeds, and I also went to see Southampton lose at Elland Road many years ago. The amount of times I've said I went to see Southampton lose at is a little bit too...
I'll say that you've got to narrow it down a bit more.
But I'm not blaming Ralph Hasselnoodle on that occasion because he wasn't the manager way back then. Anyway, Rose has told, said to Donna that she'll see her a couple of weeks and make sure that Grandad looks up his telescope at the sky. They notice at the sky that Orion is starting to disappear. Did anybody notice the photograph of Orion that I posted today?
The stars are going in.
Yes, they did.
Yes, well, it was of course. A lovely picture. I was hoping someone would see the reference material. But anyway,
the plough was really gorgeous last night. It was right over our house.
What was?
Beautiful. The plough, the Big Dipper, Ursa Major.
Yeah. Anyway, what did I get up to?
Has been my favourite.
Giant saucepan, you know, that one.
Yes, well, we know what you're talking about. The Great Bear. Anyway, so the stars start going out, and then Donna sort of just turns her face and says, I'm ready to Rose. And they take her back to their special place, where she is the doctor, the way she's acting and in charge and called Sir or whatever by the unit soldiers. They have the TARDIS, which is...
Monad. What? Had she? She hadn't told them... She hadn't told them her name, so
no,
that's
she hasn't.
What.
She's.
That's why they were calling her.
She, I think.
Because
Yeah.
So
they look in the dead TARDIS, and Donna's very excited that it's all sort of bigger on the inside and stuff.
Is it? I hadn't noticed.
After a cup of tea and a chat, Rose persuades Donna to see the creature on her back. She doesn't like it.
And, I would like it.
Again, we always say, I think we say in every episode of this show has the line, the acting of Catherine Tate, because we're always sort of gushing about her performances. And another little gem of a performance.
Yeah, I agree.
From her, as you know, Rose isn't sort of hiding the fact that she has to die at some point, even though Donna is sort of saying, well, yeah, maybe you mean death in a different sort of way. You know, death as in my universe is wiped out, but I live on sort of thing, which is essentially what it is. But eventually she's got a special suit on and she has to go back and she's got a few minutes to try and stop herself from turning right. And to cut a long story short, obviously, after being dropped in the wrong place, very Doctor-esque. She has to literally run to try and catch up with herself. And the only way she can't actually get there, she realises she hasn't got enough time to actually get to the junction. So the only way she can do it is by causing an obstruction.
So what would have happened if she'd actually met herself? Because surely that would have made an amazing...
The Brahma
what happens when they pick up the body off the road and, you know, say it's Don
Blinovich
effect.
Yes.
Anyway, so she basically jumps in front of the truck. And is fatally injured. Billy Piper, old Billy Meta, you know. Rose a chance to whisper a couple of words into her ear.
You've never mentioned it before.
I told you.
Does she still have Bingo's teeth?
Yes, of course she does. I'm surprised Bingo doesn't want them back. But anyway, where do we get up to? Oh yeah, so this results in lots of screaming and stuff, and beetles falling off the backs of Donna's and.
Rings,
so it must be Paul McCartney because it's not any rings. and then, of course, Chanto says, what are you? What will you be? And off
what is it? What are you going to be?
Scuttling into the market where the doctor comes in and says, what are you here, Carol, for? And then he sort of prods at this sort of plastic beetle, which is very beautifully made, I have to say. And then Donna starts saying a few bits and bobs that start getting the doctor's lip to stick out a little bit. And especially when she mentions, she was blonde. And then what does she say? And then the lip starts coming out, the eyes start watering. And then she says those words, bad wolf. I should have had that as my quote because that was probably the main quote, I think. And as soon as she says Bad Wolf, the TARDIS then translates all that Chinese writing into Bad Wolf.
And we hear the cloister bell, and it's all
red. It's a very dramatic scene.
Yeah.
And a very sort of, oh my God, I can't wait till next week scene. And yeah, that's it. What does Bad Wolf mean?
David Tennant the end of really the universe. Wasn't in this one a lot?
So there you go.
Didn't matter he wasn't in this one. It was brilliant.
It's a callback to a comment that we had last week.
Yeah.
So,
but, did you notice that? It's kind of weird, isn't it? The Doctor was barely in this one.
Some people call Turn Left and the next two episodes a trilogy because they are very much linked. But
they're very connected.
You know, they are connected, but I feel this is a standalone episode. And it's timey-wimey. It's a bit sort of Groundhog Day in some way because you're seeing what might happen if something else happens. But I love it. It is one of my faves. Again, I said that last week, but there is a run of episodes, a consistent run of episodes in this series that emphasise my point of the current era, where showing it is possible to run a consistently a consistent run of brilliant episodes. And I've always wondered why, you know, you get like sort of little dips of rubbishness when now they seem to have longer to compile and write series, you know, because we seem to have to wait 2 or 3
and it's
years.
It's constantly sometimes. Rubbish.
But not every single episode we've watched, you know, since the RTD era ended have been rubbish. But there have been some real crap ones. But there have been some really good ones as well. But in this series, most of it, for me, has been brilliant.
Yes.
That, for me, just shows that Doctor Who's coming to its end. With the Big Finish stories, I know they're audio, but they're still painting. In fact, it's probably harder to do it in audio because you've got to paint the picture so people think about what's going on in their mind. So that's, for me, a little bit harder. But they're still writing brilliant stories. There's, for me, no excuse. You can't say, you were running out of ideas for Doctor Who. It's got infinite ideas for what you can do with stories and stuff. It's the best genre of science fiction and fantasy available because of that fact. You've got, literally, you can do anything with it. You can do drama, you can do comedy, you can do horror. You know, you can do anything with it. And
You can do all three.
It baffles
in one
episode. Me why they think that they're running out of ideas. They're writers, but, for Christ's sake. Anyway, it's brilliant. What did you think about it then, Ben?
Can you hear me? Because my mic.
Yes.
Explain to everybody. I'm using a whole new setup today, and it's all.
Are you?
No.
Thing is, Kirby, people who listen to this bit won't have heard the bit that we do before, where we're all nice to you. Remember that.
Alexa, front room light on.
Yeah.
Wait, get off my A, honestly.
It was just a fantastic episode. And it's one of those ones where I was sitting there the other night thinking, right, I need something to watch. Because, again, it's been an international week in the football. So there's been no football on. England have been rubbish in the cricket. And that's been finished by 9 o'clock anyway. So I watched a good few episodes of Doctor Who. So I've done my homework for the next few weeks.
Well done.
And thank you very much. this one is just fantastic. I mean, the story's brilliant. The way that it's all portrayed by Donna and Billy Piper's part in it again is excellent. And it's just so good, as you were saying. But the only thing I'd say in devil's advocateness to what you were saying about how every episode should be as good as this. You've got to have peaks and troughs in everything. You know that, being a Southampton
fan.
Ouch.
No, not in any disrespect at all. Being completely, you know, totally seriously.
Well, it's same to you, because look at Man United. Best team in the country for many years, and now a major trough.
Absolutely. Mm. But and you've got to therefore expect that throughout a series of any TV programme. I mean, if you expand that to any TV program at all, I mean, you can look at something like EastEnders, and at the moment it's absolute bobbins. But years ago, it was excellent. If they carry on running it for another couple of years, it may well turn out to be all right again. But personally, I think they should neighbours it and finish it in the summer. But yeah, back to the episode. It is fantastic. The audio is brilliant. You know, the music just carries it along. Yes. So
yeah, really well used in this.
In what would have happened? You know, it's just like that film Turn Left. Does she get on the tube or does she miss the tube? Yeah.
Sliding, you know. Doors, isn't it? That's one
Sliding
of the
Sliding Doors, yeah. Tom likened that to, yeah, great film. He was talking about that earlier. Tom was reviewing the Sliding Doors episode, he goes.
Yes.
So, yeah, it gets a very high recommendation and a score of 7.5 TARDIS cakes out of 6.
Out of 6?
Out of 6, yeah, it's that good. The one thing Guys, we've got to have a little chat here. We've got to have a little chat. Because I think we should break with tradition. And the next two episodes are so good that they should have an episode of the podcast each. We shouldn't do the Stolen Earth and the
Yeah.
The one after.
Yeah.
As a two episode podcast, they are so good that they deserve an entire episode. I watched them both the other day, and what's to come?
Talk about next week's stuff. You should be saying this next week, unless you're planning not to be.
Yeah,
on
but
the show.
I can't say this next
week.
But
he's putting it to a ballot that we should possibly discuss.
Yeah. We should drag out
separately, and I actually agree because there's so
we should drag out the good episodes and maybe bunch up the not so good episodes.
maybe.
I disagree. I think they should be done together because it's one story.
Can anyone hear anything?
Just a little buzzing there for a minute. I don't know what that was.
Right. I got
Okay, right. What we're going to do then with the independent ballot via the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast crew feed, which only we can see, obviously, we're going to do a yay or nay vote. Now, you're going to vote yay if you agree with Ben that we do individual episodes, or nay if you agree with Kirby and we do the one. So, I've got a ding gun up.
We're all saying we want to do it individual.
Hang on, no, we're not. Because we are right then. So I'm going to put my vote in. We've already had one from Kirby. I wonder what that was.
he was on it right.
Here we go. Right, I've done mine. Anybody else going to pipe in with a vote? Oh dear. I think it seems to be going somewhere. Oh dear. And I think we've got. Doesn't need the other votes now, does it? Nice one, Ben. He says, yes.
Does
no
that
foes.
Mean we can't mention anything about the other episode, the second episode next
Damn
week?
Kirby.
No, but you can join it all together the week after.
Yeah. Right, so we voted now to do it in two.
You don't have to be on next week, sections. Kirby. You can save it all for the week after.
Well, yeah. I'm sure we won't be doing that. So,
I am missing a Sunday in a few weeks. So.
Well, that won't affect it. Don't worry, will it? No. Right, so that's what we're doing then. We're going to do Stolen Earth next week. Did we get to the end of who was doing the last review? Was that you, Ben?
I'm done because I let other people say.
He gave it 7.5 TARDIS cakes.
Oh, that's
six,
right.
Remember?
So we're going to try and do boy girl if this works. Right then, so let's go for girl Kirsty.
Hello.
What?
Yeah. This is like one of my favorite episodes because it's just you always kind of hope for that revisiting of things on the sly. Kind of, I like that stuff, especially when they do it like Star Trek when they go back in time or whatever.
Yeah.
But this was really cool because you got all these events from a different angle and intercut with the footage that they had. It was really kind of fantastic, and it was one of those things you just. I mean, I knew at this point that I really loved Donna. I mean, who didn't really at this point, who had an ounce of sense in their brain? But this episode just propelled, like, Catherine Tate, like, over the top for me. Just the way she did the progression in this episode. Because when you think about it, at the very beginning, she's, you know, the Donna Noble that we met in the very beginning, and by the end she's just this, you know, she's gone through so much, and so I think she really played that well, and everybody did. It's just a really fantastic episode, and it doesn't become necessarily just about the events that happen and what happened, and them, you know, the doctor not being there to stop them. We get the people that the doctor trusted, and you get to see them still doing those kind of things without him. You know, Martha was a hero right to the end, even without the doctor being there at all. I'm just rambling at this point and saying good things. It is just such a good episode. It's probably not the best one to introduce somebody to, that you're trying to show Doctor Who to, because it's so tied in with everything. But yeah, I mean, you could have actually made that a double episode finale, but I think it's actually perfect the way it is. But with everything that they did, that you could have expanded on so many of those things and really played the drama more, because you had more time to play with the audience. But it really puts you through the ringer of what's going on in her world, just, you know, and then you imagine that on a global scale, and it's just, yeah, it's amazing. And then it just comes down to her, this woman who had been so shallow at the beginning, who didn't even meet the doctor, and it just shows you what her potential was the entire time, even without his influence.
Yeah, but Kirsty, I don't think that you need to keep this from people who haven't seen.
No.
The point is made, you know, that all this disaster would be happening.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, don't you think it's up to Alan T. Butcher to decide how many episodes longer this episode should be?
It's his prerogative.
Sorry, that way. I spoke out of turn.
You know, it made me think, you know, how, you know, we watch stuff going on in the news.
I apologize, Counselor.
And stuff, and it's like how we have no control over anything. You know, it's all the sort of world leaders and stuff have the control. All we can do is moan about stuff. And there's those people in this story, you know, sort of crammed into a house, and then that family taken away because the government decide that that's going to happen. And there's absolutely nothing anybody of sort of our level of society can do anything about it when this sort of big thing happens, you know, and it's quite scary, really. You know, we vote people into power, but that's all we can do, and they get on with what they do or don't do. We've got stuff coming through on the live feed. We have Brandon Moore. Sorry, I'm late. I was getting myself something to combat dehydration, which is a water. Lillian Robin says, "Did you see my comment on your picture of Orion?" I did, Lillian. Thank you very much, Brandon Moore. That's enough.
What was it?
What?
What was it? Oh, like, I have to go over there and see?
Give me a few moments. Let's see if I can find it. Word for word. I've got the wrong feed there. Let's try this one. The trouble with Facebook now, it's very difficult to find the bits you actually want to look at, because you've got so many.
Exactly. I don't want to open up another window because I have all the comments open up right now.
It must be on this one here. I found one. Lillian said,
get notifications from 5 days ago.
The galaxy is on Orion's belt. Yeah, the galaxy is on Orion's belt. Thank you, Lillian.
Right, Meg, Facebook this week.
Men in Black, okay.
Because I couldn't find the most recent stories. I hate it when they show me what they want to show me, what happened 6 years ago. I don't care. Yeah. I want to know what's happening, like, now. And I had a real moan about this, and then I pressed a button that's appeared at the bottom, and it's all kind of, like, in there. So,
where are we getting up to? Brandon Moore, that's enough about Orion. What about Uranus? Or Uranus, as astronomers like to call it now. Brandon Moore, I agree about splitting the next two. So there you go, you're outvoted still further. Terry Miles, yay. And then Brandon Moore, and he'll be confused. No, he'll be asleep, so I wouldn't worry too much about this. Right, who was Kirsty? Well, that means Kirby.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Again, this is my favorite series of all the ones since the show came back.
Season.
Series. Is your name Reese? Are you 12?
I miss Reese.
I am from New Zealand.
Yes. It's only a couple of thousand miles away, but never mind.
I mean,
not to Americans.
Not to us, yeah.
Practically next door.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. But it's just, I remember watching this the first time, and Bad Wolf, all the banners and everything. I was just so excited to see the next one. And just, there are, even the bad stories in this series are good.
Yeah, it's true.
So, and yeah, after this, things got a little weird, and we never had such a long run of great stories. We had good, we had great stories, but we never had bang, 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 again.
This is the golden age of Who's
Yeah, this is what the patron of the show, Toby Haydock, refers to when he's talking about the golden age. At least I think it is. I'll find out. Must do an episode with him about
the golden age. I really have nothing else to say, except I do want to point out one detail. I love the detail. You know, in the warehouse where there's the mirrors are set up and everything, if you look very carefully, they have like real tattered pieces of plastic around, like to keep the cold out. And you can tell those have been there for a long time, but they all have the Unit logo on them, as if Unit has been established in there for a very long time. Such detail is great.
Yes, indeed it is. Debbie.
Yes. It's very hard to add when you come in last after, well, not last, because obviously you've got the Marvelous Mary to come. But when everybody else has said such wonderful things about such a good, strong episode.
And you hated it.
No, I loved it. But the only problem I have with this episode is Rose. That's the only problem I have. I find
la la la.
I thought you said it was fa la la.
It's the way. Get on with it.
She speaks for that the whole time, and she speaks through her teeth. And
no, I never liked the fact that we became companion centric. Never liked it. I don't mind standalone episodes, especially if they're friends, but the romantic aspect. No, thank you. I never wanted that at all. And yet here we are. It's back. And it's like, oh, no, please, no, please. No. But the stories that are to come, you know, referencing, obviously, what's coming and not ring. We're supposed to be talking about this week. But what's to come, it doesn't matter so much. It actually is, you know, it's a good part of the story. We don't focus too hard on Rose and the Doctor, although it does get a bit schmaltzy. I think this whole... Catherine Tate in this is sublime. She's wonderful. She plays Donna so beautifully. She's much more realistic in this one for being the couldn't care less, isn't that wizard type girl that she was in Runaway Bride. And you know, because obviously she's settled into being true Donna, and this is just like just seeing this parallel line. And you know, like, it's a wonderful life, you know, what would happen if you didn't do this, and sliding doors as well, what happened if you missed that. It's such a good premise, this whole idea of a whole other universe going on just because you didn't do one thing, and that simple small thing that have such repercussions. And that I think Catherine Tate plays that whole realization that she is more important than she thinks. Just one person, she's like, no, I'm not important. That was my quote, you know. And the Doctor's been saying all along, you're smashing, you're terrific, you're very important. And we find out soon just how important she becomes. So it's terrific bounce off episode into the last two.
I did like your review there, Debbie, but I've got to point out that halfway through that you did say the words hard on.
And that completely distracted you from all my other sensible things.
I heard nothing.
Oh, that's all.
Have you met him before?
Yes, she has.
And the music's terrific.
Yeah, she has, Kirsty. Yeah.
We have photographic evidence of this particular occasion. Oh, right then.
I'm sorry, Deb.
That's right.
Mary, what did you think of this particular feature?
Oh, well, this one is one of my all-time favorites. And it isn't just because of Catherine Tate.
That was a bit late.
Well, I wasn't expecting it, that's why.
it's not just Catherine Tate that sells it to me. It's all the performances. I mean, we watch Sylvia hollow out as this goes along, and she does it. Oh, the actress does it so well.
Absolutely.
And you know, and if we haven't fallen in love with Wilf already, and the guy that plays the Italian guy who's so happy. Oh my gosh, you know, my heart is breaking for him and his family. I'm just saying that the acting in this,
he played that so beautifully. Yes, he does.
So yes, Catherine is wonderful, but everybody is wonderful. And there's a couple of little niggly things that stood out for me as terms of, you know, things that kind of bothered me.
Rose.
Donna asks, when she finally sees that thing on her back, she says, "What is it?" And Rose says, "We don't know." But then she proceeds to go on in excruciating detail everything that they know about it. It's like, yes, you do know what it is.
You know what it is. You just haven't given it a name yet.
Yeah. So why are you saying we don't know what it is? And then the beetle remains pretty scary throughout the episode because we're always just seeing, you know, like a little leg, you know, or a quick flash, but we never really get the full on beetle until the doctor is sitting there with it poking away at what is obviously a plastic prop, you know, and then the beetle loses all scariness, whatever. I wish they would have left that out.
But
the doctor doing that. And something that might help you to know what impact Catherine Tate has on this series is that this episode was written for her. Mm-hmm. There was no plan to do an episode like this when they were originally planning out the series, and the doctor was going to have this companion by the name of Penny. But because Catherine was showing such acting strength, and again, the rest of the cast was too, Russell T. Davies sat down and wrote this just for Catherine to really highlight her. And because he was writing that for her, they decided that to balance things out, they also needed one for the doctor. So that's how we got Midnight and Turn Left. It was because she is so amazing. Yeah. And this is almost an homage to how strong an actress she is, and how well it showed everybody off. So I think this was a like a gift of Russell T. Davies to us, to show us.
I didn't actually know that.
Yes, but Mary, we did Midnight last week. We didn't get your opinions on that.
On Midnight? Well, I mean, I let you know that's in, you know, like one of my top ones as well.
There you go.
And again, you know, it's the acting that does that. The actress doing Sylvie, not Sylvie, what's her name? Sky.
Yeah.
The actress that playing Sky is so amazing. And I've seen her in other things, so I know she's a very strong actress. But that's the scene of her and the doctor mirroring, talking, is so creepy that it kind of outdoes everything else, even though it's pretty scary when the lady is, you know, yanked out of the capsule and all the banging and everything. But that too is one of the highlights of Doctor Who for me.
I think that's a rare thing that we've had two consecutive episodes that you love, Mary.
I do too.
That is quite a moment.
Hopefully it's going to hold.
Well, thank you, everybody. Have I missed everyone? Oh. Anyone? I do have to ask that.
Master?
Yes?
You guys are lucky. Next week is the week I miss the episode.
Here we go. So you will have to talk about it on the next one. It's just as well we're doing it in two separate bits, then, isn't it, Kirby? After you moaned about it. So, yeah, that's all right then. Good. That worked out nicely for you.
Really well. Well done, Kirby. Yeah.
Going to see Ben-Hur silent film.
Going to see Ben Shoveler's silent film.
That's going to be amazing.
I mean, I've seen it before, obviously, live organ accompaniment is just going to be fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really envious of that.
Right. Okay. So that brings us to the next segment of the show. Kirby's feedback bit.
Brandon Moore says, "Bad wolf, bad wolf, bad wolf, bad wolf, bad wolf, bad wolf, and by bad wolf." This is dark, isn't it? Probably the most depressing episode of New Who. New Who. The idea of setting up a parallel world based on the last two or three series of the show is very daring. Imagine someone who hasn't seen the show sitting to watch this episode. What would they have made of it? although nearly 14 million people had watched the Titanic episode, so maybe it would make more sense than I'm thinking. Catherine Tate, Jacqueline Cribbins, and Bernard Cribbins.
What? Yeah,
he changes that. He plays around with names.
Okay.
It's deliberate. Are astoundingly good in this episode. As the world slowly falls apart, we see Donna become just as brave and brilliant as she was with the Doctor. Billy Piper's perhaps not quite there, struggling to find the role of Rose whilst also working those teeth in for a horse. Rose was never this stoic and mysterious before, and although Piper is a good enough actress, I don't think the role really suits the character. I like the way Torchwood and Sarah Jane are killed off, but it's a shame it's off screen. Ooh. And what happened in the other time zones? The Carrionites taking over Elizabethan England, the Pyroviles in Pompeii. And what about all the Agatha Christie and the giant wasp? But no, these things would not really have a place in the episode, and not focusing on them is the right decision, but good potential for a big finish box set. The Time Beetle looks like a backpack, but Catherine Tate's performance sells it for real. On first watch, I remember my mother snorting at Catherine Tate's terrible running, and we guessed that Rose's two words were, of course, bad wolf. Bad wolf turning up everywhere is odd. It makes no sense and is never even mentioned in the next episode. But gosh, it's very exciting. Are we sure about that?
I take the words and I scatter them through time and space.
Yeah. Despite some issues, the story is so strong due to its performances and ideas, so a 9 out of 10 from me.
Wow.
Neil James has a whole bunch of stuff here.
Go on then.
And it's he's talking about much more than what we just talked about.
Okay.
Hi, guys. Just wanted to say I haven't done proper feedback since Utopia back in December.
That's disgraceful.
This is due to an overwhelming workload and various family and personal reasons.
That's acceptable.
I have kept listening every week, and I'm still loving the podcast. And now I'm back!
Hooray!
Kind of. I'm currently catching up as I type. I have just finished watching The Poison Sky. So here is my condensed feedback so far of what I've missed.
Cool.
I plan to be completely up to date in time for your next podcast. Sorry there's no feedback about the actual story you're talking about today. Wibbly wobbly timey wimey. The Sound of Drums / The Last of the Time Lords. Great first episode, but the second gets a bit out of hand. Not a fan of Old Doctor or Dobby Doctor. And Martha goes for a walk. After three amazing stories, this finale fell a bit short. 3 stars. Time Crash. This is gorgeous. Davison was my doctor, too. Lovely. 4 stars. Voyage of the Damned. Great cast and effect, but goes on a bit too long, and I lose interest by the end. Kylie is cool, and so is Wolf. 3 stars. Partners in Crime. Yes, time to face facts. I really like Donna. This is a fun one with a good and sexy villainess. Yep. 3 stars. Fires of Pompeii. Pretty standard story, but Donna's compassion makes it so much better. Love that she makes him save the family. And also, hello, Amy Pond and 12th Doc.
Yeah.
3 stars. Planet of the Ood. The Ood are brilliant. This story is pretty good. I like that big brain. Very time in the Ronnie. 3 stars. The Centauran Stratagem. Poison Sky. Another solid story. The unit are back, and so is Martha. And she's tough. Fantastic Centauran makeup. I like it. 3 stars. He says, just realized I've given a lot of 3-star reviews here. I predict some 2s and 4s next time, I promise. And then he gives his rating system. I don't think I necessarily need to read that, do I?
Go on, you've got to read standard, isn't
it? And 1 star, hate it.
2, don't like it. 3, like it. 4, love it. 5, a huge personal favorite.
Bye for now. Stay gorgeous, you lovely lot. Ian Kirk script.
Indeed. Talking of which, you got Ian Kirk script. Well, I should really be ready for that.
Oh, it was Bill James doing Ian Kirk script.
What? No, the I don't want him to read Ian Kirk script.
You're supposed to read the stage directions, Kirby.
Yeah. I can't find my feedback email. Oh, there it is. Sorry, I got lost in my own tabs then. Come on.
I don't think they make tabs anymore.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Turn left by Russell T. Davies. This is a Dr. Light story, starring Catherine Tate, with help from Bernard Cribbins and Billy Piper. Donna visits a dodgy fortune teller, who is so dodgy that she does not tell the future. She changes the past by finding the pivotal moment that caused her to meet the doctor and preventing it. She does this so that the villain the trickster can use potential time energy or something. Well, like the Weeping Angels. We get to see alternative versions of recent stories. Without Donna as a companion, the doctor would have died fighting the Rachnos. And Rose Tyler pays a visit from her alternative dimension. Without the doctor to fight the Jadoon, Martha Jones and everyone else in the hospital that visits the moon dies except for one survivor. Sarah Jane Smith and her gang died fighting the Jadoon. With no doctor to save the spaceship Titanic, it hits Buckingham Palace and destroys London. Captain Jack is kidnapped while fighting the Santarans and his team killed. Because of the radiation from the Titanic, Donna is shipped off to Leeds. The dodgy fortune teller told me that Leeds will beat Southampton next Saturday.
Boo.
Rose sends Donna back in time. Donna throws herself under a truck to create a traffic jam that will force her other self to turn left and eventually meet the doctor, so the timeline is restored. Donna becomes the third woman in three stories to sacrifice herself. The Time Beetle dies. The doctor says it is remarkable that he met Donna twice, even though he met Martha Jones twice.
Ah.
He does not yet know that Billy Piper just won't leave the show alone. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Of course, Ian's the other person from Leeds I was referring to. There we go.
Sorry, Ian, we didn't mean to insult Leeds.
Yes,
quite
you did, Debbie. I dug us out of the hole. We got kept on going.
Also, remember the 10th Doctor... we'll see Rose a year before he met Rose in the very last of his episode.
That's correct. Kirsty, I sent you some blurb from another feedback contributor. Did you get it? It was via Facebook Messenger.
Yes, but...
Well, if you wouldn't mind dictating that for us.
No!
Pardon?
No!
I mean, no.
Did you read what you put in there?
Well, just only copied and pasted it.
No, I know.
Would you like?
Fine.
Would you like me to do it?
Do I have to sing it?
No, just say it's words, isn't it? At the end of the.
Okay. Tra la la, tra la la la,
tra la la,
la
la la.
Shut up, Debbie.
Tra la la, tra la la la, tra la la la, tra la la, tra la 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 la. Should I go on? Did I say something wrong?
Yes, come
on. No, keep going. Yeah.
I can't believe you did that.
One banana. Two banana. Wait.
Let me pick up
three
the place
banana four.
Okay.
don't interrupt. Please. All bananas make a split. God. So do many more.
It's like Shakespeare.
Over hill and highway, the banana buggies go.
You turned it into prose. It's amazing.
Come along to bring you the banana split show.
And back to the top. No, don't go back to the top. Thank you, Kirsty. That was from Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Thank you, Kirby, for your contribution.
There's one, two, three. There's three more verses.
Shut up. we also have this. Let's hope the volume's turned up.
Well, good afternoon.
Oh, Andy.
And here it is Thursday. It's Sunday
that's
afternoon.
Better.
Mothering Sunday. Happy Mothering Sunday to all our mums for Dawn and me. It's happy birth Mothering Sunday to our mothers up in heaven. That's life, I suppose. Just come back from a nice wander around Guildford Centre to the castle and things like that. And we're going to have to dinner shortly. There we go. But yesterday, of course, did my usual pressing appointment and, watched Turn Left. Now, last week we had the Donna Light episode. This week we have the Doctor Light episode. But although he wasn't in it, he was in it because everything was all about him and about the effects he has and looking at, you know, what he'd done, the things that, because he wasn't there, the Titanic crashed into Buckingham Palace, the Big Ten got destroyed, and the Tower, Clock Tower, of course, as well, because Big Ten's actually the bell. A lot of people know that. All the things that went wrong, it's interesting, you know, the throwback, you know, to when they were living in Leeds and the Labour camps and Wolf saying it's happening all over again. It's, you know, very true, isn't it? You know, you think, because of course he would have lived through that, being in the Second World War, and would have known about it. It's quite frightening to think that could have been what happened. But yeah, I mean, this again is Donna Noble coming into her own and showing, you know, really how strong a person she was. You know, she was more than she actually thought of. Though her mother didn't think much of her, she actually proved her wrong in the end, didn't she? Because she proved she was strong. So I think from that point of view, it's showing what the effect the Doctor has. And then it's sowing the seeds for the end of this season, or series, whatever you want to call it. I'll probably re-read by calling it season. By having the Bad Wolf suddenly coming back into it. And that's a real throwback even to what's going on before. And then we know what's coming, or do we know what's coming? That's the whole point. And it's interesting the way that Rose never actually says what her name is, never introduced herself. But I think when Donna described her as the Doctor, I think he knew that was it. Then when he saw Bad Wolf, he knows what's coming. And he knows it's the end for him, I think. You know, he really does. So that point of view, was it a really good? It was a bit choppy in places, I think. It was because it didn't really flow. But so it didn't flow because it was having to put it so much in and so many seeds. I think really this is not quite a filler episode, but this was the episode that set up the end of this particular series and the end of the Doctor. And it was sowing those seeds and getting people to think, you know, this is what's coming. From that point of view, I think it worked really, really well. I think there were some very strong performances. I said already from Donna. I think Wolf was very good. Donna's mother as well, you know, just shows, you know, she really did have quite a spectrum of characters, you know, from the domineering mother to the well, God, aren't you pathetic? You really just let me, you know, disappointment to me. But then in the end, you know, she doesn't. And also, how many people thought of Father's Day when Donna presumably threw herself in front of the truck? We never actually saw it happening. Very much the way that Pete went, because, you know, he knew this was the only way to do it. And so, you know, Donna knows she's going to die. But of course she doesn't die, does she? Because that's, yeah, it's an alternate universe, her, and how many other ones are there? Because it's interesting what the Doc said about parallel universes. So again, it's sowing the seeds. So from that point of view, thoroughly enjoyed it. Looking forward to the next one, because the trailer, I mean, good grief, you've got the trailer. How many people are coming back into this? You know, you've got the whole of Torchwood, you've got Sarah Jane, you've got Rose coming back. Yeah, it really has said it well. Anyway, I'm going to go and put a pair of trousers on. And then we're going to go out and have a nice dinner. So enjoy a mothering Sunday.
Thank you for that particular detail, Andy. Thank you very much.
Maybe we do, because we've seen it otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I'd forgotten about it up to that point. Thanks, thanks, Andy. Right, what else we got coming up? Oh, yeah, Mary, you've got some blurb that came through. I heard it ding while you were talking.
Wait. What's Mary seen?
Pardon?
All I heard was him talking about his putting his pants on and Mary's seen it. I'm like,
he's seen what Andy's got to offer.
That's all we're going to say.
Without his pants?
Yes, without his pants while wearing a robe in the garden while podcasting.
With it down on knee level, yeah. That
I
was,
still
that
haven't
was,
recovered.
Yeah, that was, any wonder we have a bad name.
But you had to bring it up, Kirsty, didn't you? You just had to bring it up.
Yeah, I think Andy put it up.
No. <There's> a man.
by the way, before you start, Mary, well, I know you're trying to digest it. Alan T. Butcher said, difficult to imagine Ben Shoveler doing a silent film.
Yeah. I am still here.
Yeah, I've got this piece from Linda and Terry Miles, yeah. And it goes, this is a tale about Earth if the Doctor had died, because Donna turned right instead of left. The woman at the beginning who helped the Scarab get onto Donna's back to change the timeline would not have met Donna if she hadn't met the Doctor. Rose has new teeth and they whistle, just like John Craven's teeth do. If you don't believe me, watch when she's talking to Donna when they first meet. Yeah, Wilf is back. Go, Bernard. Sylvia was good this time, showing so many differing emotions. I know it's a science fiction fantasy television show, but there are so many holes in this story, it's best not to think about it and just enjoy the story.
Yes.
The signs at the end that said Bad Wolf had Eastern writing on them at the beginning. Why didn't the TARDIS translate them until the end? Next week... Sorry. The Pepper Pots are back. Well, it's in their contract. Yep. In a two-parter, Stolen Earth and Journey's End, showing the reason the console has six sides. Then there's a PS directed to you, Adam.
Hello.
Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Sorry, just reading the message he sent to me. So that's all I'm going to say. right then. So that leaves us with the creme de la creme of feedback responses. And Mr. Ben Shoveler is now going to dictate. Alan D. Butcher.
You ready, guys? You ready? Kirby, you ready this time?
Yeah, the great, the unmatched.
Right. Now, can you all hear me? Can you all hear me?
Just hear me.
Yeah, this is Clem Fandango. Can everybody hear me?
Ow, just knocked my microphone. That hurt.
Excellent. Right. Okay. Because the funny thing is, you can all hear me. I can't hear myself.
You're very lucky.
I'm actually missing it an awful lot.
What, hearing yourself?
No, I can hear all of you through my headphones, but I can't hear me through my headphones, which
that's
is
very odd. Why don't you take one headphone
off?
I'm sure you'll get a.
Now I can hear everything in the room, and that's not professional.
You'll
at
rectify
all.
It, but next week.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I've been working all day trying to rig up the new mixing desk into the brand new lovely computer, which is why I haven't crashed once so far this podcast. I'm surprised no one's noticed. Thanks, guys. Only cost lots of money. Anyway. So, Adam, for the final time, this is the last time I'll need you, because from next week I will be able to do it. Can you hear this?
Yeah, but it's exceptionally loud and distorted. Do it in a way in which it doesn't sound exceptionally loud and distorted.
At least I'll be able to do it at the right time.
Shut up.
So next week you'll
he's
be relieved.
He's stalling.
Once I've got my levels corrected. So I'll need you this week. And Kirby, yes, I need you as well.
Okay.
Are we all ready?
I hear myself.
Hey, you're echoing, Kirby. That's not very nice.
Hey, stop echoing, Kirby.
Yeah. What did the doctor ever do for us? Or Mother's Day message? Don't listen to your mother.
Dear 20 megabytes. Turn left is, of course, a closely studied piece of
something turned up.
Called bots. What?
Sir Peter Cook's turned up.
Straight forward, how people suffer if you move to the right areas, whereas if you go left, the world can be made a better place, and that short-term sacrifice, rather than a comfortable, selfish choice, can be at the heart of ensuring a better future.
Tap, tap, tap on the window pane.
No, at that point, one of you's got to go, park life. Okay, Adam.
Yeah, I know.
Get it right.
Yes.
Get it. It should be noted that whilst.
That was naughty. That was really, really naughty. I'm going to have to deduct a point for that.
No.
Right, now I'm going to deduct a point for that one. Where's my point deductor?
I'll let you have another go as it's your last.
There we go.
Okay. Deducted. It should be noted that whilst. That maybe if you haven't got time to produce a series which lets your key actors appear in all the episodes, maybe you should make less episodes. In fact, with a little imagination, I don't need you, Kirby, a science fiction, because he hasn't written that, can be improved by any production necessity. We also learn that having the Doctor around makes a difference. All in all,
Turn Left is a bold setup for the end of this series, which cleverly makes a virtue out of the production necessity of having a story where the lead actor cannot appear too much. Unlike any politician, he's not pushing the point there. It enriches the whole series by not only being part of the great variety of narrative types within it, but also by rewarding the attention paid by the audience through the referential elements, and yet further by using those references to construct an epic space to play out the culmination of events. There is, of course, a somewhat extended supporting cast. You wait for next week, mate. But the high quality of these actors and characters is not watered down by their abundance. This story is perhaps two episodes too short. Oh, you were close, Kirsty, as the next two episodes are quite rightly a direct continuation of the story set up here. Next up, Doctor Who and the Daleks' Grand Theft Planetary, or Pot Black Dalek Galactic Pool Edition. Those are my thoughts. The Counselor.
Alan T. Butcher Ricky.
That's brilliant. The Yanks have got no idea.
I think you'll find that Mary has, because she watches EastEnders. Do you not, Mary?
I do, yeah.
There you go. You know who the butchers are.
Ricky.
Yeah.
Yank.
Right then, so...
is the EastEnders podcast.
Without further ado, let's talk about Doctor Who. Now, that's the old quote. We're now going to move on to the next segment of the show, which is Ben's birthday quiz.
Oh, right, okay.
That piece of music.
Well, again, next week it's going to be replaced.
Oh, for God.
Once I'm in charge of my own audio, mate, then things are going to get a bit different around here.
I have returned to editing.
Too different, I hope.
It'll be severely different. Yeah,
I'm
not going to lie to you, Debbie. And I'm totally not filling time while I just sort out the last of today's.
Quiz that you'd forgotten
you've only
about.
Had 1 hour and 15 minutes to sort it out, but never mind.
It's just I've been so busy this week with the new computer and the mixing desk.
You don't have to do one.
Yes, Debbie, it's contractual. We do this one. Right, so I am now ready, and all I need to do is press that, click that, jump over there a bit, work out how old that one is, because otherwise it's much okay, we're ready to go. Are you ready?
No. I love that music.
Hello, welcome to How Aged Are They? The Doctor Who, Doctor Who Actors Quiz, who recently had a birthday age guessing game, currently featuring on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Only currently?
Yes. The rules are simple. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 rounds today. In every round, I'll give you one actor from Doctor Who. They could be from Classic Who, New Who, or maybe both. But they've all recently celebrated a birthday. The contestants have to try and guess the actor's age to score as few points as possible. If they guess the actor's age correctly, they get an exact answer, which is no points added to their score. If they're 1 year away, either over or under, 1 point is added to their score. If they're 2 away, 2 points are added, and so on. At the end of the 4 rounds, the points are added up, and the winner is the contestant with the lowest score. To ensure fair play, the contestants will take it in turns to start each round, so no one guesses one away from the other contestants for all 5 rounds and trials to spoil the fun like Kirby does.
That's a lot of rules.
Sorry, what was that?
Okay,
did you say that again?
Where are the rules that I'm supposed to end?
I could say it again, Kirsty, if you want. It's all written out. To ensure play, the contestants will take it in turns to start each round, so no one guesses 1 year away from the other contestants' answers for all 5 rounds, 4 rounds, sorry, and tries to spoil the fun. This is called Kirby Roll. And winners' bonuses are added up across the series and will be crowned at some point. But before we play, we better meet this week's contestants. Cue the music.
Cue the music. See, this is why I'm...
Hang on, I haven't got any music for that bit. For goodness
yes,
sake.
You did last week.
What did I use last week, then?
Something from, like, Blind Date or something.
I've only got our theme tune.
Yeah, I think you used that. You just
yes,
used
that's
the,
what you normally use.
Oh, God, right.
Hey, is Adam. Adam is from Penzance in Scotland, and he likes...
Even I know that's not where Penzance is.
Debbie likes baking cakes, but not eating them. She says,
oh,
that's
sorry.
For lunch.
All
right, that's for what?
America. That is very pedantic. Kirsty, God knows where she's from. And she's an American contingent, and she thinks that Donald Trump is a plum. Let's start today's game. Firstly, I'll give you the first person.
Hang on, what about the rest of the contestants?
I've got all of them. I did Adam, I did Debbie, I did Kirby, I did Kirsty, I did Mary. Or add Deb, Kerb, Ker, M.
Okay, carry on then.
As I've written on my scores. It's really off-putting not to be able to hear myself.
Yeah, you did cut out on half of the people.
Yeah, you do.
Well, that's because you
Deb missed what she does with cakes.
I missed what I do with the cakes instead of eating.
We all want to know what Deb does with the cakes.
That's for something, apparently.
The video will be released at some point.
The cake is a lie.
Rumbled.
So, the first actor today is Hamilton Dice. That's Hamilton Dice. Hamilton played Scooby in Spearhead from Space, and Hamilton Dice would have celebrated their birthday on the 14th of March. But how old is Hamilton Dice Scooby from Spearhead from Space? We'll start, as ever, with the most important person on this quiz, the master, the general, the leader, the person whose views mean more than anything else, Mary Blitz Lang. What's your...
I'll say he's 85.
Kirby.
75.
Kirsty.
82.
Debbie.
Oh, I don't know.
So that's 1 point added to your score for the new rule. The I don't know rule. Don't know. It's a bloody quiz.
65.
65. Okay, and finally, Adam. Adam Pearson.
80.
80. Round one done. Let's move on to round two. Round two is Terence Alexander. That's Terence Alexander. He played Lord Ravensworth in The Mark of the Rani. Ho, ho, ho. There's an episode. Terence Alexander celebrated
it's
their...
It's a story, and it's composed of several episodes.
Excellent. And they celebrated their birthday on the 11th of March. Terence Alexander, Lord Ravensworth, from the Mark of the Rani series of episodes, 11th of March. But how old would they be if that was then on their birthday this year? We'll start with Adam.
Sorry, what was Ian again?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Let's see.
Get this on anti-index quiz. Terence Alexander.
What was he in, sorry?
Terence Alexander was in Doctor Who.
I know he's in Doctor Who. Which one?
Would you want his age if he would be his birthday now?
The mark. That's what I'm calling it, Debbie. I'm changing the name to that.
Sorry, I got distracted by Lillian. Who said about the announcement
sure.
post
would
not being there? So I'm looking for it. Yeah, sorry, carry on.
Alexander, Lord Ravensworth from the Mark of the Rani. How aged are they? Adam,
I'm thinking. 89.
Debbie.
86.
Mary.
78.
Kirsty.
88.
Kirby.
75.
Bing! Round two over. I could put some sound effects on through my phone. Anyway, next up.
Play tra la la.
Don't get all high tech on us.
I'm going to get way high tech on everybody's ass next week.
Don't bring a xylophone out. Come on.
It's going to be a glockenspiel. Next up is Victor Madden. Victor Madden, who was Robson in Fury from the Deep. Victor Madden's birthday was the 6th of March, but how aged are they, Kirby?
75.
Right, there's going to be a new rule next.
You're doing it again.
You know how much I like a new
the
rule.
The 75-year rule you said last week.
Last week.
No, last week I was shifting between 75 and 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we
he's
can
just
see.
Got two waypoints that he goes between. That's all he can do.
I'm going to have to introduce a rule.
Because I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, that's a plus point for Kirby.
Oh, you shouldn't say it. I keep falling into that one.
A bonus point. Oh, okay, Kirby, you've given your answer. Kirsty.
God, I've lost my train of thought now.
Are you looking for a number?
No, well, I had one until we had to give Kirby a ribbing. let's see. Oh, Fury from the Deep. 92.
Oh, that's a good number. Adam.
For God's sake. Let me think. Okay, I'm gonna go 79.
I was just putting on some music just while you were thinking. Who haven't I done? Oh, hey. God.
Wise choice.
Debbie.
68.
Another wise choice, Deb.
Mary, I hadn't come to Mary.
90.
And finally, round four. That's round four.
What is that?
I see what you did there with that.
Round four.
Uh-oh.
You know, tell me what it is.
I got you.
It's blur, it is.
It is. Hold on, what's on the other faders? Nothing. Fourth round. There's something in every one now. I just haven't rigged it all up yet because I've been so busy. It's still playing.
Get on with it.
Sorry, I was just...
Get on with it.
For my radio station. Michael Walker, that's Michael Walker, was born on the 13th of March, so a little time back ago, a little bit maybe. But the 13th of March was Michael Walker's birthday. And Michael Walker played a character in the Claws of Axos. So quite an old episode. And he played Kirby, you'll know this, he played the first radar operator.
Harry.
No, JC, I think his name was JC. So Michael Walker, born on the 13th of March, was in the Claws of Axos. But how aged are they? We'll start with Debbie.
86.
We'll move on to Kirby.
90. Hey, I didn't say 75.
Yay!
You did just say 75.
There you go.
I'll have
Do
to
I
take
get a point for that.
I'll scrub off the other point. Kirsty.
Back to the Future, 1985.
You're saying they're 1985?
No,
85. I'll just say 85. Okay. Mary.
88.
And finally, Adam Pearson.
All right. 77.
77. That concludes the first round of
Yay.
How Are They? We'll be back very shortly indeed.
I tell you what, if I win that thing, thanks to Lillian, obviously being completely distracted by other things is a good way to actually do your quiz thing. I've got to do a quick burst of the music, haven't I?
Okay.
There you go. Right, so we might as well do Doctor Who news and Fantasy Con news, because what Lillian was moaning about was I scheduled a post to appear on the Fantasy Con Facebook page, where it lives, really. It's the main page that we have. I know we share on other networks, but it is the main page that we have. That Fantasy Con will return on the 5th of November 2022 at Cowes Yacht Haven. We spoke about it last week on the show, but she's saying that she hasn't appeared. But the thing is, Lily, I'm getting lots of congratulations. Oh, we're really looking forward to it. Messages coming through on various platforms. So I've shared it elsewhere as well now. So hopefully, oh dear, what's happened there? So hopefully other people will see it. There'll be more sharings of that particular bit of information. What they haven't seen, of course, is that Clive Mantle is going to be very shortly announced as our first main guest. And I've had a chat with him on Facebook, and he's a very nice chap. He sent me some nice pictures of him that were better than the original announcement graphic that I had done. So thank you, Clive. So we're back there. And just what?
I'm looking forward to meeting him.
Tough.
I mean, tough. Right, this is what we come along if don't want my help right. This year. That's fine by me.
These are the initial features that we're planning to do for the event. So, celebrity guests, as I've mentioned, traders, Lego Zone, retro gaming, board gaming. Lorraine from Wessex Cancer Trust, which are our partners in this thing, has managed to wangle VAR, is it? Is that what they call it? Where you have a virtual reality? Or is it VR? No, VAR's for football, isn't it? VR virtual reality. Guest panels, cosplay competition.
Wait, what about VR? I just got a VR, you know, what are you saying?
That she's managed to wangle VR for the event, the VR activities.
Maybe I can attend.
Hopefully an auction. Not VR, I mean, personal appearances. This is gaming. Doctor Who's Own with Four-Size TARDIS, etc., etc. So that's just for starters. There will be other things added as we go on. Hopefully we'll see the Staggering Stories team again. And Alan T. Butcher is, of course, contracted to come to the event, whatever happens. So, obviously, on his own.
Are you paying him more than you're paying me?
No, it's a charity event. He has to pay. Everybody has to pay. Even me. I've already paid. So that's it. That is FantasyCon 2022. Beginning of November. So isn't that fun? Is that exciting, Debbie?
Yes, very. I was already excited.
Good. That's what I want people to be.
So how are you going to do VR?
VR. Do you say PR?
He said VR.
I virtual suspect it's reality. PlayStation Virtual Reality via whoever company's doing it for us. You'd have to speak to Lorraine. Do you want me to give you her contact details?
Well, I mean, you're just going to set up a camera.
I'm not setting up anything. It's a VR, gaming thing. VR, virtual reality gaming. I'm not setting it up at all. A company.
What's the point in virtual reality gaming at a convention? Why not be able to actually
go and enjoy it?
So people
it.
Can play it and experience it and see what it's like.
Oh, I see.
It's an activity.
Yeah,
they're going to have a VR setup there for people to experience.
Darn. I see. What I was proposing is that someone set up a camera there so that I can.
Oh, what a surprise!
Yeah, but look what happened last time we tried to get you guys on.
Well, he did appear on it, but it was very difficult. I'm not even sure we'll do a 20 megabyte live thing because there's only one day and I'll be very busy. I might even have to do the photography, so I think I'm not going to overload my
stuff. What day of the week is it?
Stuff to do Saturday.
We don't record on Saturday, so we don't need to.
Oh, God's sake. Right, okay, Kirby, yes, thank you for that. Doctor Who news. I don't think there is any, but I'm going to have a look anyway. Doctor Who joins Fortnite. Ooh, I might get back into playing Fortnite again. BBC Studios has announced that the Doctor has landed in the popular online video game Fortnite. Players will take on new adventures, missions and battles while exploring iconic locations in the Whooniverse, all on board brand new Doctor Who Island within the game. Oh my God, it makes me want to go and play Fortnite. I'll have to tell Isabella, who will now probably delete it from her PlayStation. data extract reaches 250. Data extract, the magazine publication of Doctor Who Club of Australia, has reached its 250th issue. The double issue of 250 and 251 includes an exclusive interview with Katie Manning on her long connection to Australia, while Pete McTeague goes behind the scenes on the short films made for the Blu-ray collection releases, blah, 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 blah. Bedford Who Charity Con 7. Bedford Who Charity Con 7 will take place on Sunday the 9th of April, and Doctor Who news readers can take advantage of a special offer of 10% off tickets. Over the years, the Bedford conventions have established a strong reputation for being fun, relaxed, informal, and friendly, with a real intimacy between the guests and audience, which is where you get most sort of small conventions anyway, isn't it? But that sounds like quite good fun. I won't be going, but it does sound like quite good fun. Terence Dick Award for Writers is what we spoke about last week. So that actually is quite a lot of Doctor Who news there.
It's nice to have a lot.
We've also had the news that Hugh Grant has said he's not going to be playing the Doctor. That's not on this
thread. He's not, but everybody was saying last week he was.
It was in the front page of the People. It had to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Right. What else we got coming up on this front? I'm looking at other
scores are added up if you want to.
Just one thing. Okay, we'll do that then. Well, apparently the scores are added up. I'll thank you for the little heads up there. Did you, if you did pipe it over me via the internet, I was busy doing a link to try and fill out for you. But the scores are in. So here comes. There we go, Ben. A little burst of music for you. Make it very professional.
Hi, welcome back, etc. Part two, done part one. If you haven't done.
Oh, I forgot we were doing this.
you better pay attention, Kirsty. That's all I'm saying. Right, so let's have a run through our actors and their birthdays, and we'll give the scores accordingly. The first actor was Hamilton Dyce, who played Scobie in Spearhead from Space, born on the 14th of March 1912, which means Adam, who said 80, gets 30 points. Debbie, who said 65, gets 45 points. Kirby, who said 75, gets 35 points. Kirsty said 82, so gets 28, I think. And Mary said 85, gets 25 points. Not a good first round, guys.
Wow, that is terrifying me out.
Excuse me,
yeah, really.
Did you say he was born in 1912?
1912.
Well, he's over 100 then, isn't he?
110 years old. Blimey. Yes. So,
how old deserves a ding. Died? How old was he when he died?
Is he dead then?
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake, I was expecting to be. If I thought he was going to be dead, I would have changed my guess. Oh, for goodness.
Yeah. I was
close with his actual age of death.
Yes, can we have a new rule that they don't have to be alive?
No, we can't, because that makes it more interesting.
Yeah, but then we've got to do sums as well. Can you barely know.
I assume that the people were all alive.
Okay, well, anyway, carry on, Ben.
Can I make a suggestion that we add to those actors that are no longer with us a phrase like, they are no longer with us.
Yeah, that might help. But I'll tell you what, it does make a difference, of course. We don't know who they are anyway. So carry on, Ben.
Sorry, Ben. I'm nerdy enough to know the actors in each episode, then I'm not playing this game. Because I thought that was the whole point of it, to show how nerdy you are. It was called the biggest nerd, but I decided that might be a bit rude.
Yeah, so, but we're nerdy enough to go, well, hang on, if we're talking about them, they must be still alive. If we're asking about their birthday that they just had.
Should we think about the age that they die at then instead?
See, it doesn't know. It can't work like that. It's my game. It's my rule. Shut up.
All right.
Yeah.
I did not assume that they were alive.
This much crap when he was doing Bob's Full House.
I bet he did.
I bet he didn't.
So how far have we got with these results?
The second actor, Terence Alexander, who was Lord Ravensworth in Mark of the Rani, which wasn't a new episode, just in case anyone's going to moan about not knowing how old they are. Anyway, Terence Alexander, you see the change in style there, see the change in voice as I went from annoyed off mic to professional on mic.
It sounded kind of annoyed professional on mic. Anyway.
I let it slip. Terence Alexander, Lord Ravensworth in The Mark of the Rani, born on the 11th of March But what year? Well, Adam said he was 89. Debbie said he was 86. Kirby said he was 75. Of course he bloody did. Kirsty said 88. And Mary said 78. But actually, Terence Alexander would have been 99. So Adam gets 10 points. Debbie gets 13 points. Kirby gets 24 points. Kirsty gets 11 points. And Mary gets 21. Round three. I hope you're keeping your own scores here. Because
No.
That's your job.
No.
For somebody with a spreadsheet.
I'm not doing a spreadsheet for this.
You can't even guess the ages. I'm not surprised.
Thank you for reminding me about the spreadsheet. I hadn't updated this week's. Geez.
All right, let's get back on with the show.
Yeah. Can we get on with it?
For the quiz. So that's the way I keep track of everything. Third person was Victor Madden, who played Robson in Fury from the Deep, born on the 6th of March. But how aged are they? Adam said 79.
They're dead.
78. Kirby said 75. Kirsty said 92. And Mary said 90. Victor Madden played Robson in Fury of the Deep. He was born on the 6th of March 1928, which made him 94 years old. Which means Adam got 15 points. Debbie got 26 points. Kirby got 19 points. Kirsty, you got 2. And Mary got 4. Congratulations for us.
Impressive.
And finally, on to round 4. It was Michael Walker, born on the 13th of March. But how aged are they? For the first radar operator in the Claws of Axis. We all remember him well. He was born in 1941, which means Adam, who's of course 81 years old. He's still alive, everybody. I hope he is. Adam said he was 77, so gets 4 points. Oh. Debbie said he was 86, so gets 5 points. Kirby said he was 90, so gets 9 points. Kirsty said 85, so gets 4 points. And Mary said 88, so gets 7 points, which means if we add up all of this week's points, the totalizers look like this. Yes. In last place with 89 points, it's Debbie. In second
I'm trying to get a crowd cheer in place for that. Carry on.
Next week, mate, this will sound like some sort of, this will be the slickest bit of the whole.
Yeah.
Kirby comes fourth bottom with 87 points.
Wait, Kirby has a fourth bottom?
If you're lucky. It's third place. Completely middle of the road. It's Adam Pearson.
Can't think of a thing.
Eventually we get the reaction from the crowd. Carry on.
Which means that's because they just worked out who the top two were. Which means it's between Kirsty and Mary for this week's bonus point system, which I haven't worked out yet. One of them.
You got a hiss on that new audio system of yours.
I haven't had a what on it. No. It normally smells like this. Kirsty, Mary, one of you got 45 points. One of you got 57 points. This week's winner is Kirsty. Well done, Kirsty. That's a bonus something or other coming your way at some point. So let's have a look at the league table.
There she was scoffing away at the.
Time for tears. Don't be crying on us. We know this is special.
Mary, congratulations on coming second. That's another strong performance from you as you won your first and only other episode. Let's have a quick look at the league table. You have to have played at least 2 rounds to qualify for the league table. In bottom spot at the moment, facing relegation at the end of the season, to be replaced by Andy Nunny in the next campaign.
He'll be asleep anyway.
Yeah, I know it's an assumption that these people were alive. I figure, you know, we're just guessing.
It's all right, Mary. It's only okay. In bottom place with an average score of 49 points, it's guess who? It's Mr. Pedantic. It's Kirby.
Hooray!
Just know it all, yeah.
In fourth place with an average score of 44.5, she's here again. It's Debbie Melrose Place.
Hey! So what is Debbie Melrose Place?
In third place.
Ah!
Oh,
played two with an average score of 39.5. It's Mary Blitzlang. Which means it's between Adam and Kirsty for top spot.
Oh, oh, oh.
Adam, this could mean you win something. How does that make you feel? I mean, it's a feeling you've probably never felt before.
I once won a game of pontoon against Isabella, and I used to win quite regularly when I used to ensure that a victory was likely to be on the cards. But sadly, for her, I'm a little bit too competitive.
Well, guess what, mister?
What?
You top of the table!
Well, thank you, Ben.
Kirsty, I didn't understand a word that you said.
Loud. I've got no control over the music next week, Kirby, instead of having
you
it
just
up.
Just didn't hear anything.
Yeah, we couldn't hear a thing. You kept going.
It doesn't make sense if you're talking through a piece of music. It's your own blimmin' fault. I'm sorry.
Right, anyway, thanks for all playing. Thanks for playing, everybody.
Thank you for taking the time to compile that for us.
Yes,
that's all right. I did it as you were talking.
Right then, so we've got stuff coming through on the live feed. Linnea Robbins said, where's the announcement at 7 p.m? It was there, because it was scheduled by that ever-reliable facility, Facebook, or Meta, as it's called. Wasn't there an hour and 15 minutes ago. When I made it up. And then she said she can't make it to the con. What's the point then? What's all that trouble of missing all the questions? On the, I could have got a bit more right on the quiz for nothing. Anyway, right then, so... now it's time for what we watched this week, which culminates in Mary's bit at the end. So what I'm going to say, I didn't actually watch much this week, because I was watching on Discovery Plus, similar words, the culmination of a couple of crime documentary series featuring Lieutenant Joe Kender, who doesn't do his own ones anymore. He just presents on behalf of other detectives, and another one called Crime Calls, in which they start with the initial call to 911 and then put the case together after that. Great series, but both finished now because I've watched them all this week. So I haven't actually watched any movies because we were busy with my mum's cancer treatment and going to sort of do other things, and so we just didn't get a chance. I did buy Deb a Cineworld pass for her Mother's Day stroke anniversary, because they're cheaper if I buy them through M&S. So saves £35 on that. So she's really looking forward to actually having the facility to go to movies with us for a prepaid amount. I tell you what I did. When we did go to the cinema, they play trailers before movies. And what me and Isabella thought we'd really like to see and couldn't wait to come out because it looked like such good fun was a movie called Foo Fighters 666. And then what happens this week?
Yeah.
Ben, fill in.
Well, hold on 1 minute.
What?
Headphones on so you can all hear me and I can't hear you. I don't know how that works. Well, what happened, Adam, was a tragedy of rock modern times.
Absolute disaster.
Sorry for Dave Grohl. I feel because he's been through this sort of thing twice now. But carry on. Sorry, I'm just gutted.
Yes, because yesterday, the 25th of March, it was confirmed that Taylor Hawkins, the Hawk, the drummer from the Foo Fighters, the greatest rock and roll band in the history of everything, sadly passed away in a Colombian hotel room.
Wasn't he? He was in a hotel in Bogota.
Yeah. Now, some of the reports coming out in the last couple of hours make it seem like it may not.
Yeah.
Which makes it even worse, because an absolute hero of mine. I'm a drummer and he is just the second greatest drummer to ever play the drums after the bloke who he plays the drum.
He plays the drums for.
Who
he played the drums for. Yeah. I was absolutely devastated yesterday morning. I was in tears for 4 or 5 hours. I was just absolutely gutted by it. And the only way I tried to explain it to my mum earlier, who doesn't really get the Foo Fighters, obviously, because she's like, 70 odd. I had to say that it was like if Ringo had died when the Beatles were at their height. It's that big. And I don't know. I mean, the Foo Fighters will go on because they were born out of adversity and they've lived through adversity and they will carry on through adversity. But how they're going to replace Taylor Hawkins, I have absolutely not even the first clue of thinking about.
Well, Dave will have to sit from the back, sing from the back, won't he?
The bloke was an absolute legend.
I think Dave will take over the drums.
No, he won't. No. He'll play the drums on the next album when they record it.
Yeah.
Then they'll have to find a full member to go to with it. Because he can't play the drums live and play the guitar. That's quite hard.
Yeah, one man band.
Absolutely devastated yesterday.
Be out on the front with it attached to his back. He'll be all right.
But yes, it is like you say. It's not that old, and like talented people go. But I just feel
it's devastating the shade that's being thrown at him within 24 hours of learning about it.
But that happens with that sort of thing. Kurt Cobain, Dave Grohl went through that.
And there's the heartbreaking bit of footage, which obviously is emerged in the last 24 hours, of an interview with Dave Grohl on his first meeting with Taylor, where he says, became best friends and we knew we'd be best friends forever.
Yeah.
They've been showing that all over the news. Yeah, that's been really, really hard to watch that, actually. He's a major hero of mine. We walked down, back up the aisle to Foo Fighters.
Someone wake me up when we talk about something I'm interested in.
Yes, all right. We'll finish this bit in a minute, but I just wanted to say it's a big loss to.
Sorry, the Kirby. We'll carry on then. Okay.
That was a little disrespectful.
It was all connected to the movie Studio 666, which me and Isabella were really looking forward to.
We were talking about, and we moved on to more. Mourn someone who's affected quite strongly members of this podcast.
I was trying to be humorous.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
I know you are. It's fine, Kirby. We know you're trying to be humorous. We know you very well. But we're going to carry on anyway, right? So anyway, so that's basically we'll wrap that bit up. But yes, it's very, very sad that that's happened. But like you say, Ben, the band will carry on. But it's just there's always going to be a hole, especially when you watch that movie, and it'll be just in the back of your mind all the time. But I know they wanted to be a big comedy spoof of horror and stuff, but it's going
to
have an extra.
Oh, I really want to see that. That looks like so much fun.
Yeah. It's been ages.
Yeah, but haven't seen it. It's not been in the cinema yet. There's lots of trailers. We haven't actually had it to watch. Anyway,
yeah,
so that's it.
I've not seen it yet. I've seen the trailers.
I haven't seen the film. Right then, Ben. So while you're on, what have you watched this week?
Yesterday I watched Sky News for an hour because they had a bit of the Taylor Hawkins story in their headlines, and then I sat there for an hour and they didn't even mention it, and that made me really angry. Other than that, I've been watching the internet a lot to try and find a decent price for the computer, which I finally bought on Tuesday. Hallelujah! Yeah.
Hallelujah!
I'm so pleased with it. It's absolutely gorgeous. But on the telly, we've been watching many, many episodes of Inside the Factory.
Yeah,
I must get around to watching that. I've heard it's really good. Yes.
I absolutely adore Greg Wallace for four reasons. For four reasons, right. Firstly, he always wears a hairnet in every factory, even though he's bald.
Even though he's bald, yeah. He always wears a hairnet.
And always has the right coat on with his name on, too. And it's always
They've all ready for him, aren't they?
Secondly, this is a man who gets, excited, we'll say, by large numbers.
Yes.
Every time anyone mentions that they're going to be shipping
him. Wow!
He gets so excited by it. Similarly, he also gets way overexcited by menial everyday foods that he's probably eaten many, many times in his life. Like, for example, if they're making ice cream, at the end, all the way through, he's going, God, can I try some at the end?
He tried it every stage. Every stage of that one, he had a bit.
We watched it one the other day where they were making bird's eye potato waffles, and at no point did he say they were waffly versatile. No. Every time they went through a stage of making the different potato, would have a little bit and go.
Supposed to do advertising on the Beeb. That's probably why.
I know, wasn't it? I mean, you know, on ITV where they have product placement, they put that little pea there. The whole screen was covered with a massive pea when because it was just. Anyway, at every single stage of having these potato waffles, it'd be like, nah, that's not quite right. Nah, it's not right. It's not right. And when the final thing came out, and the bloke goes, would you like to try one? And he goes, can I? It's a waffle, mate. You've seen a million of them go past. They're not going to go bankrupt because they're letting you eat one waffle. But it's the, can I? Oh yeah. Nah, that's the waffle taste I know. Absolutely legendary. Totally love him. But really don't like that cherry.
It's such escapism TV, considering what's going on in the world.
Oh, it is. And there's a lot to watch. So, you know, that's always quite
it's up there with Darling Buds and May for me, for that sort of comfort viewing.
No, I don't. I mean, if Greg Wallace was in Darling Buds of May, then that would be like, Peter's pot blarking. Now you're talking a TV.
So anyway, anything else?
Watched lots of a program called Doctor. Oh no, I tell you what else I watched. I watched Toast of Tinseltown. I finally caught up with that. It was on BBC iPlayer a couple of months ago. BBC as well. Starring Matt Berry as what's his name?
Who's
a voiceover, which I can obviously identify with quite a lot. And oh, it's just so funny. Matt Berry is an absolute comedy.
Matt Berry is great.
He is absolute genius. So, Toast of Tinseltown. Watch it. It's great.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Adam.
Kirsty, what have you been watching?
Good Girls on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. One of my wife's favorites.
Obsessively, basically, that's all I've been watching. We have dabbled in a show that was also on Netflix called Is It Cake?
Oh, I love that.
The guy's humor in it is like, it's so dad jokey and stuff, but it's funny. I like it. I like all those kind of baking shows. Plus, I think this week on 4, Bake Off Stand Up to Cancer is back. So I'm looking forward to watching that and then saying next week that I watched it this week. Right? Good. Okay, moving on.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Debbie, what have you watched?
A lot of Red Dwarf this week. Wanted to binge it again, so we've been watching an awful lot of Red Dwarf. She absolutely loves the cat. That's her favourite character.
I've met him. I've my picture taken
of
with
course.
Him.
I've met Rimmer, and I thought he's the tallest
You've
one on the set.
You've met Rimmer, did you say?
I've met Chris Barry.
Oh.
And he's the tallest one on the set, and I towered over him. And I was like, oh, blimey. It was like a free childhood thing that got shattered. I was like,
how tall is he?
Than everybody. Yeah. I don't like it.
How tall
is he taller than you then?
No, I'm taller than him. I couldn't believe it. I was so like, I thought he was really tall because he towers over Lister. Yeah, yeah. You know? It's like, no, I'm not in the 6 foot club, put it that way.
Well, thank you.
Okay, well, I've watched a lot of Red Dwarf, watched a lot of BBC iPlayer news and things like that. I have been binging again on The Haunting of Hill House and been absolutely loving Is It Cake? That's just fantastic. Isla's big dream now is to become a baker. So I've got a lot of teaching to do, but she's doing great.
Yeah.
And basically, I've also been listening to a lot of classical music on the radio. It's been a need for chill out week. So I've done a lot more listening rather than watching. So Classic FM has been on pretty solidly all week.
Thank you very much. Kirby, what have you been watching?
First, I want to apologize for my Foo Fighters
It's all right. You already apologised. Nobody was offended.
I have no idea who they were or anything about their music, which is, and I was just kind of zoning out. Sorry.
I just muted my microphone because I knew I had nothing to offer. That was probably the best course. Anyway.
I watched, other than the usual YouTube stuff that I'm always watching, there are new things. I watched for two more episodes of Resident Alien, and I'm going so slow with those, unfortunately, I'm going to have to pay for another month of the service.
Yeah, we've not caught up Picard yet. We watched the first episode.
Yeah, I haven't watched the anything other than episode one, so you're right there, Debbie.
Oh, I've got that to watch tonight.
Yeah.
And it may take me a while because, as you may have noticed from my post on Facebook yesterday, I got an Oculus Quest 2, which is taking up a lot of my time. It's virtual reality gaming, etc. And if Andy listens to this, he will be very pleased to know that I just downloaded The Final Overs, a pick-up-and-play cricket game.
Oh, I've got a cricket game, but it's not a VR one.
So I'm going to try cricket in VR.
Good boy. Like, you carry on. Right.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, this is a point of the game where we ask Ben to provide a on-the-spot theme tune for Mary's bit. Oh, he's not there. Okay, so I'll have to create one.
I am here.
Oh, okay.
But what I've got to do is I don't pay a lot of attention to what you lot say, and I always turn my microphone on mute and take the headphones off and leave you on the speakers. But then when you need to speak to me, I have to mute the speakers.
Too much explanation.
And put the headphones on. So what you've got to do is you've got to say Ben, and then you've got to ask me what you want.
God.
Give me a couple of seconds. Okay, so do it again.
What have I got to do?
Introduce Kirsty.
I might as well just say, here's Mary. But go on. Ben is now going to provide an on-the-spot theme tune for Mary's bit.
Mary's bit. What's she been watching this week? Let's find out what she's been listening to and reading in Mary's bit. Mary's bit. Mary's bit. Mary's bit. Mary's bit.
Mary's bit. Mary's bit. Mary's bit.
She likes it. See, that's why, because I've got a mixing desk of faders. Sorry. It's Mary's bit.
In reality, he just backed away from the microphone.
Okay, you can turn your speaker back on, Ben, and take your headphones off. Well, in terms of TV, I've been binge-watching Succession on HBO Max and The Landscapers, which features Olivia Colman, and she's amazing in it. But in terms of other stuff that I've been doing, I've been listening to a big Finnish story that I think Deb would really enjoy. It's called Holy Terror. It's one of the way back, you know, one of the older, earlier ones that they've done. And it is a gem. It's written by Rob Shearman, cool. of fame. And it's quirky. It's black humor. It takes place in the Middle Ages when Pepin is going to be king. And it's both hilarious and horrifying at the same time. And I think that, again, I think Deb would really, because those seem to be the things that she likes. So
what's it called again?
It's called Holy Terror.
Holy Terror.
It's the Sixth Doctor. And his companion is a shape-shifting creature called Frobisher, who
spends
most of his time being a penguin. And he's got this Boston, New York accent. He's so much fun. But the trouble is when Big Finish put this story out, and they had already recorded another one with Frobisher called The Maltese Penguin, which is a spoof of detective film noir. And it's a real gem. But when the Holy Terror came out, I guess there was such blowback from listeners, you know, this Frobisher, I guess they consider him something of a Marmite character. You either love him or you hate him.
I love it.
Yeah. I love it too. And so at every convention, what the big Finnish people say, every convention they get the question, are you going to bring Frobisher back? Because there are people out there that want more of him. But you either love him or you hate him. But yeah, I highly, highly recommend Holy Terror and then second of all, The Maltese Penguin. And I'm reading Megalos, which is, you know, just kind of a fleshed out story from the script of the target book Megalos. And before we say goodbye to Donna, and I know we don't really say goodbye to her until like the next episodes, I do want to recommend that people pick up when they can the 10th Doctor and Donna audios from Big Finish, because they're like three box sets with the two of them. And although every story isn't a gem, most of them are. And just to listen to the two of them, again, you know, if you're missing Donna when we're done with this, these are good things to get into. So that's it from me.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
Master, yeah. Master, may I point out that Frobisher, the penguin-ish creature, is not the same as John Frobisher, Peter Capaldi in Children of Earth.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Kobe. I think it's
Adam has both of these stories. So if you can dig them up and give them to Deb, she, of course, if you purchase them direct from Big Finish download, it's only like $2.99 a download. So
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I might have it somewhere. I'm amongst my archive of files, hopefully. So anyway, right then. What else is coming through? So nothing through on the live feed, which means we can actually end the show. I have a bath upstairs waiting for my...
I've got to go and put a certain young lady to bed, and hopefully she won't be scared of her wardrobe tonight.
Adam, do tell us more about this bath of yours.
I was just about to say, but I got interrupted. I intend to apply myself to the bath, resulting in a clean me. Alan T. Butcher says, how does Kirby actually know those two Frobishers are not the same?
Ah, good point.
I'll answer it then.
since John Frobisher looks like the 12th Doctor.
Do it. Oh dear. Right then. So, Kirby, Master? Are you ready for this fact? Kirby, what? Are you ready? What? Now, what? Please listen very carefully. Next week is the 3rd of April.
Yes.
Don't get too excited. I will be filming a show at Medina Theatre, so I will not be available to do the show.
Oh,
so
this show, not the show that I'm doing at Medina Theatre. So therefore, our next episode will be on the 10th of
April. And we're reviewing just one.
The Stolen Earth, but it's okay because I'm available on the 10th and the 17th. So, what's Kirby's or not his plan? Who had the idea of having it over 2 weeks?
Hey, it's my idea.
Thank you, Ben. Ben's idea of having it over the two separate weeks will be over the 10th and 17th of April.
And unfortunately, you're going to have me.
And by the time we get to the end of May, we'll be into the Matt Smith era. It seems to have taken an awful long time getting through the Tennant era.
There's an awful lot of stories.
Yeah, it's almost like he's the Tom Baker of the new era, isn't it?
Well, we don't, because it's a good era.
And it's also because we talk quite a lot about them, because they're very, very good. And after this, it goes downhill rapidly, doesn't it? Let's be honest.
Right away, but it does eventually, yeah.
Anyway, Lucy Butcher says, asterisk, Frobishers. And then he says, this is good. I'm at Capital 5 next week. Don't know where, is that a radio station? Capital 5?
Sounds like no, it's a convention. The Doctor Who convention.
What, the one we referred to earlier. So in 2 weeks' time, gives people plenty of time to digest The Stolen Earth.
You know, asterisk would have been interesting in Doctor Who. I have a whole shelf of asterisks.
And I wonder what Alan T. Butcher's opinion of Holy Terror is, because it sounds like he listens to Big Finish too.
Well, I once went to see a convention in Creepy, which is quite good, because Alan T. Butcher is going to see a convention in Crawley.
Wow.
Kirby, no.
Oh, boy.
No, Kirby.
What?
No.
Down
point.
Down point.
Anyway, until next time, 2 weeks' time, thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Please give us some feedback. We love hearing from you. It's a highlight of doing this. Until then, goodbye.
Actually.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
Scarecrow.
That's
spelled down.
Wizard.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.